Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, or possibly afternoon or morning, everyone out there who is listening to us on yet another edition of Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel. And I am joined by two of my favorite spelunkers. That would be, of course, my favorite partner in crime from New York City. We have the eponymous Carl Kafer.
Greetings and salutations, everyone.
He really does answer the phone like that, by the way. and, of course, our favorite newbie to the group and now has his own show, Rock This Town Radio with TC, usually every Sunday night. And tell you what, guys, that is a fucking fantastic one. I think he needs no further introduction. Here is TC.
From Pittsburgh. How you doing, everyone? Happy to be here.
And I just want to say that tonight's topic is songs about movies. But first, I believe TC had something he wanted to say to everyone. So, mic's over to you, TC.
Well, thank you very much. And I'll try to keep this as pleasant as possible. Noel Gallagher, formerly of Oasis, is a limey fucking douchebag. Do I need to elaborate or?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Elaborate a little bit for us.
A little bit, okay. Yeah, I read an article this week where he said the most overrated band, now this is a guy that was from an overrated band, Oasis.
Yeah.
He said the most overrated band in history was the Beach Boys. He said the only reason the Beach Boys sold albums was alphabetically, they're in the album rack next to the Beatles. And he said Pet Sounds was one of the worst albums ever made. Now, if you listen to any musician, from Tom Petty down to fucking R.E.M., they're going to tell you how influential Pet Sounds was on everybody and how innovative it was and how it really changed the rock and roll scene. You got to remember, this is when the British invasion was happening and Beach Boys counteracted it. And this fucking limey bastard comes out with shit like that. Fuck him. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, I completely agree with you. He's always been a douchebag. And seriously, like, he's so fucking great. How about we name off the top of our head one Oasis song other than Champagne Supernova? What? Can't do it? Yeah, because that's all they're famous for. Anyway, that being said, yes, I completely agree with you there, 100%. That was a necessary rant as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
I have one thing to say. Champagne Supernova, I've never heard the fucking song.
Oh, well, there you go.
I don't know it. I don't
Champagne
care to know
Supernova
it.
Champagne Supernova in the sky.
No, I don't know it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So anyway,
well, count yourself fucking lucky you haven't heard that overplayed piece of bullshit. And even luckier that you are on this show tonight. And this is how my brain works, guys. This is why we call this show Down the Rabbit Hole, because I never know what I'm going to feel like talking about. We've done a lot of music lately. We've done some commentaries recently. But we're back to music today because I got a song stuck in my head last week. And I was like, you know what? This song talks about a bunch of different movie titles. And it's kind of awesome. And I was like, you know what? I know there's other songs out there like that. Let's do a show, songs about movies. And this first one I'm going to play for you is not technically about a movie, but this is my fucking show. I'll do it how I want. And that would be... I don't know if you watched this, by the way, Carl. The Bowling for Soup, I Want to Be Brad Pitt.
I did watch it. It's fucking hysterical.
Oh, the video is hilarious. Bowling for Soup is famous for their really funny videos. If you guys get a chance, seriously, go check out the music video. It's fucking hilarious. And I will introduce to you now I Want to Be Brad Pitt by Bowling for Soup.
Here we go.
Louise wouldn't have been the same without him. Always eating in the Ocean's Movie, criticized for his accent and snatch, and then he won an Oscar for beating up Bruce Lee. Oh,
making a cameo at the end of the music video. The guy runs out of the party after trying to be Brad Pitt and runs into Brad Pitt in an alleyway and says, it's kind of old. So what did you guys think about that one?
Carl?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I was chair dancing, too.
I was about to say, if you weren't bopping for at least half of that song, I don't know who the fuck you are, but that one's just so much fun. I mean, hell, even I want to be Brad Pitt. I've seen Angelina Jolie naked. Hell yeah. but yeah, that is the song that inspired this entire show idea. So there you go. What about you, TC?
I'll tell you, I have always wanted to see Bowling for Soup in concert. I always thought they were the coolest band, and I just never had the opportunity to. Carl's chair dance, I was coughing. I'm sorry, I forgot to clean my bowl before I came out tonight. But I had to get away. I could hear it, but I had to get away so you didn't hear me coughing. Anyways, I love that song. They're just a fun band. I mean, I know the band quite well, and like I said, I wish I've always seen them. But I have to watch that video. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, you know Bowling for Soup. You're familiar with them, so you know they're pretty.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty fucking hilarious.
Oh, they are. They're a scream. That's why I say one of their shows must be fun as hell. You know, go to one of their shows.
I can only imagine. I mean, there's so many bands like that that it's just like I regret not having seen in my time because, wow. Like, I was
up,
around.
Right?
You what?
They broke up, didn't they?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'll maybe have that information for us a little later. I'll Google. See if they're still around.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Well,
which is,
you are, Bowling for Soup.
That's what my show's about. That's what my show's about tomorrow night, is like 90s and done, or are they? You know, all those guys who put out great tunes in the 90s and then just sort of disappeared. But we'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who's,
so who's
right,
the next
so who
one?
Who wants to go next here?
TC, why don't you go?
You know what? I could go. And you know what? I'm going to start it off with Goins and the Buckaroos with his 1963 number one country hit, Act Naturally. Most of us are familiar with the cover the Beatles did, which was one of the earliest that featured Ringo Starr singing on, you know, and taking the lead vocals. And it was actually the B-side of the single Yesterday, you know, and is off their Help album. And I originally intended to play the Beatles. In fact, when I first sent you a list, Carl, I think I did have the Beatles on there. And I thought, no, we're going to go with the original. So here's Buck Owens and the Buckaroos.
Here we go.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. We'll make the scene about a man that's sad and lonely, and begging down upon his bended knee. I'll play the part, but I won't need rehearsing. All I'll have to do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that ever hits the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Yeehaw!
Nice.
Yeehaw! We all know the Beatles version, but I thought it was pretty cool to hear Buck Owens do it. And
yeah,
we all know him
pretty cool.
Yeehaw. Wasn't that? You know the Beatles version, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. The Buckaroos. A great
now,
man.
Most people know Buck Owens, of course, from Hee Haw, but he was a really certified country star way before then.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
he
absolutely.
Was out, you know, he was probably around 10, 12 years before that 1963 hit came. So, well, there you have it.
Yep.
That's my starter. That's my leadoff hitter.
That's
leading
a pretty good one.
The Collins and the Buckaroos. All right. I won't say that.
So I'm going to start. I'm going to start with a group, which I. When I was collecting records, I found out about them, and I fell in love with them, and that's the Olympics. The Olympics were a doo-wop group that first recorded in 1958. The song we're going to hear made it to number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart of that year. Their best-known tune came the next year, which is Holy Golly. And then in 1965, they were one of the first to record Good Lovin', which was then better done by the Rascals, better-known version by the Rascals. But really fine group. They had a lot of humor in their band, and we're going to start with them with the song Western Movies by the Olympics. So here we go.
To save my soul.
Western Movies and lots of gunshots. What do you think,
what
guys?
What a great shoot 'em up song. It's a shoot 'em up song.
Loving it.
That was a great pick. Fixer, there's a lot of people they influenced, you know, and they were really an underrated doo-wop band. You know, they didn't get the big shining star that a lot of them did, and they deserved it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I love the Olympics. And that's a great song. I mean, that's just a great doo-wop song. Seriously.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. It's a fun song.
All right. Well, I guess we're back to Rachel.
Well,
Don't I get to play? Oh, that's right. I already went. Jesus. Now, I guess the bowl is better. Anyways, Rachel, that song you played, I Want to Be Brad Pitt. That was just released this January.
That's what I thought because I listened to it on Faction Punk, and that's all like newer punk music. So that's what I was thinking is that was relatively new. I heard it the other week.
They first played it in January on a Tulsa radio station, and the official release on February 25th. So that is like the newest song we've ever played on this show. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That answers the question about them.
Yeah, so I guess that answers your question. If they release the new single, which is a bopping-ass single, I bet they're going to go back on tour soon.
Well, guess what I'm watching out for?
I think it's for Bowling Pursuit.
Yeah. Stop by
there
Pittsburgh.
We go.
BFF.
All right.
The
okay, so that that does bring it back to me, and I don't have like an old school country-ish doo-woppy tune for you, but I do have a song from one of the most criminally underrated bands of all time. You guys know my one-hit wonder fetish, and these are definitely in my top 10 favorite albums of all time ever. And this is one of my favorite songs on the album, and it wasn't until I was looking at the Wikipedia for, you know, songs about movies that I realized this song particularly was about a movie. I should have picked up on it, but it's been a long-ass time since I have seen the movie Vertigo. This song is called Carlotta Valdez, and she is apparently the fictional dead character in Vertigo. I mean, there's even a part of the song where he starts, you know, singing Vertigo. I really should have picked up on that, but I never did till about a week ago. So conveniently, this is by Harvey Danger. Yes, a flagpole set of fame. If I never hear that song again, it will probably still be too soon. But the rest of that album, hands down, is one of the best albums of all time. It's wonderful. And they are...
I guess tomorrow night I got to dedicate that song to you then, huh? They're one of the bands I'm featuring about Where Are They Now.
Oh, nice.
I
gotta play
I gotta play the familiar song, though. You know that.
Of course, I
know.
The
one that made him famous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But seriously, that band, the whole album, Where Have All the Merry Makers Gone, is just absolutely phenomenal. And this is Carlotta Valdez by Harvey Danger.
And here we go.
Remember Harvey Danger being.
That whole album is fantastic.
It really is. And if Black Pulsetta hadn't been so overplayed, I mean, was it a major jam back in the day? Oh, yes. Did I bop to it pretty hardcore back in the day? Oh, yes. Is it also one of the most criminally overplayed songs in music history? Also, yes. I still love and respect the fuck out of Harvey Danger, but I want to throttle that song.
I think one of the reasons it was so overplayed was that nobody ever picked another song off that album to play. You know, that's all
they
were playing.
Oh, and there were so many.
Oh,
Private
shit.
Private Helicopter?
There's four or five that could have easily been in regular airplay.
Absolutely. And
didn't have to, you know.
But
why
and that's
they
the thing.
Just felt,
yeah,
you know,
why
it's like
the
there was no curiosity
or something.
Yeah, there's no curiosity like, Jesus, what else do these guys do? What else can we put on the air? You know,
the only reason I am introduced to them at all is because this was still back in the days of going out and buying albums. So, of course, we bought the whole album because of that single. But then I got tired of the single, listened to the rest of the album, and I was like, holy shit, this is, like, prolific. This is really good shit. It's absolute poetry. And, they're so creative, and they're so banging on their guitars, and just, the energy from those guys is absolutely palpable.
There were a lot of bands at that time that, you know, like Harvey Danger, Blink 182, I can name them all day long, that threw that energy out there. But it seemed like the mainstream, the radio stations focused on just one song.
Exactly. I actually do have a deep love for Blink 182, but usually not the stuff that they played on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, there's two or three that they just played the fuck out of. And, God, there's so much other good stuff out there. You know,
Adam's song and What's My Age Again.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's just, I love Rock Show. I've always loved that song. Cool song. And you can hear that on Sirius once in a while.
I hear that one pretty frequently, but I also keep it on a punk station a lot of times, so.
Yeah, so. Well, Carl, Harvey Danger.
I'd never heard of the group before. It's funny. What Rachel does is she brings a lot of the 90s stuff to me. By that time, I wasn't listening to the radio at all. So all of this is basically new. As I put stuff in, and that's one of the reasons I love to put stuff in, suddenly I've got Harvey Danger on my Spotify. Like, I got to check him out.
Oh, you
I never heard
because...
the song. I didn't even know that it was a band. Remember I asked you, was the band Carlotta or was the band Harvey Danger?
Yeah, and I didn't think about it. And I was like, I guess Carl's never heard of Harvey Danger. But, Black Pulsetta is criminally overplayed by a criminally underrated band. I'm just saying, like, you will love that entire album. If you like that song, Carl, please just go ahead and do yourself a favor. Get the entire Where Have All the Merrymakers Gone album. You will not regret it. Terminal
and
Man,
I will do
one
that.
Of my favorites.
I hate to burst your bubble, Carl, but that's kind of like their only album. You know, so,
they came out with a new one.
Did they really? Yeah, well, you know, part of I read that they did get back together, like on a reunion thing. So
yes,
I don't have my notes
in front
of me for tomorrow, but
I actually just saw it on YouTube today when I was playing that song on the ride home. I was playing my playlist for Jeremy. So, like, hey, you want to hear the songs I'm putting on the podcast tonight? Here we go. So I saw that
there
they did have a second album that they did. So for that one yet, but I'm definitely going for the first one because it's absolute poetry. If you break down what he's saying, like some of the most beautiful stuff in Terminal Annex, he says, like a zero drowning in a sea of higher numbers, I remain as ever intrigued, but no more astounded. And I'm just like, it's so beautiful. Oh, but so angry.
Oh, there you go.
But anyway.
There you go.
I guess that takes us to you, TC.
Yes, it does. And my next pick is Skate Away by Dire Straits from their 1990 album or 1980 album, Making Movies, appropriately named. The song really showcases Mark Knopfler's descriptive songwriting abilities as he tells the story. The story's about an actress that's in a city, and then she, you know, on her off time, she's skating around in the city, weaving in and out of traffic. She's got her headset on, you know, listening to rock and roll, real 80s, you know, dress and everything. And what was cool about it, they did a video, and it was 2 years before MTV came out. But once MTV came out, the video hit real big. And I had to write down this lady's name. Her name is Jacek Kiwi. And she was a roller skating girl in the video, and she is also the daughter of the first president of Nigeria. He was elected in 1963. But anyways, this album was their, it came off their fourth album, which was, like I said, Making Movies. And interesting thing about it is there was a title track actually called Making Movies. The title track didn't make the album. So how many albums do you know that the title track didn't make the album? But anyways, their first three albums, they were always a four-man group, and Mark and Dave Knopfler, brothers, got in a big-ass fight during this production of this album. And Dave quit the band, so Mark had to go back through the studio and re-record all of his parts. So with that said, let's hear Skate Away by Dire Straits.
Here we go.
It starts real quiet in case you think it's not going.
In one of the boxes.
Here it comes. It's coming. I hear it.
There it is.
Louder, louder.
Got it.
Down a wrong way street, for all the world like an urban corridor. A shared wheels on its feet. The cars do the usual dance. Same old cruise in the curbside crawl. But the roller girl, she's taking chances. She just loves to see her take them all. Toro taxi, see you tomorrow, my son. Just let a big truck creep ahead.
It's got a whole world in its face. Yeah. Can't shoot on her, no, no, no. She got her own world in the city. The city's being so rude to her. She is alone at night, sailing through the crowd. She makes her soul so tight and the music's playing loud. She gets rock and roll in a rock and roll.
Yeah, the lyrics are just, I mean, the way he writes is so descriptive. I mean, you picture this chick roller skating through traffic and everything. And of course, the guitar work, anything Mark Knopfler does, just incredible.
Well, I have said it before, and I will continue to say it again and again. It is never a bad time for Dire Straits. I'm sorry, that's all that can be said. They're Dire fucking Straight.
Yeah.
They're one of the greatest of all time for a reason.
Absolutely.
And that song came off of, you know, the album Making Movies, which also had Romeo and Joliet, Tunnel of Love, Skate Away. There's only three songs on the first side, and they're all like 7-8 minutes long. So, genius. Man.
Absolutely worth listening to every single one of them in their entirety.
There you go. I mean, it was rough. It was loosely a movie song, but it still fits.
You know, one other thing about Mark Knopfler that hasn't been mentioned is he did some wonderful soundtracks to films.
Yeah.
One particular one that I love that's not well known is a film called Comfort and Joy. And it's just a great soundtrack. It's about warring ice cream trucks. Okay? Never in Edinburgh. Never mind. But it's a great album. I love them very much.
Cool. Who's making all the noise, me?
I don't know.
I think that's you. It's not me. I think it might be your phone.
Well, anyways.
Okay. So I guess it's on to me, right?
That's
it. It's my turn. And I got to go back to when I was a kid. Growing up in Pittsburgh, one of the things that I watched all the time was Chiller Theater and Chillbilly Cardilly. And my love of cheap science fiction movies from the 50s is unsurpassed. I love them. And one of my favorite musical artists did a nice homage to those type of movies. And, of course, I'm talking about Frank Zappa, and I'm talking cheapness. And there's a little spoken bit here that introduces you to the whole concept of cheap 50s movies. So here you go. This is Frank Zappa and cheapness.
Cheapness. Let me tell you something. Do you like monster movies? Anybody? I love monster movies. I simply adore monster movies, and the cheaper they are, the better they are. And cheapness, in the case of a monster movie, has nothing to do with the budget of the film, although it helps. But true cheapness is exemplified by visible nylon strings attached to the jaw of a giant spider. I'll tell you a good one that I saw one time. I think the name of the film was It Conquered the World. And do you ever see that one? The monster looks sort of like an inverted ice cream cone with teeth around the bottom. It's like a teepee or a sort of a rounded off pup tent affair. And it's got fangs on the base of it. I don't know why, but it's a very threatening sight. And then he's got a frown and, you know, ugly mouth and everything. And there's this one scene where the monster is coming out of a cave, see? There's always a scene where they come out of the cave at least once. And the rest of the cast, this must have been made around the 1950s, the lapels are about like that wide, the ties are about that wide, and they're about this short. And they always have a little revolver that they're going to shoot the monster with. And there's always a girl who falls down and twists her ankle. Of course there is. You know how they are. The weaker sex and everything, twisting their ankle on behalf of the little ice cream cone. Well, in this scene, folks, they didn't want to retake it because it must have been so good they wanted to keep it. But when the monster came out of the cave, just over on the left-hand side of the screen, you can see about this much 2x4 attached to the bottom of the thing as the guy is pushing it out. And then, obviously, off camera, somebody's going, "No, get it back." And they drag it back just a little bit as the guy's going, "Now that's cheapness, right?" And this is cheapness here.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I need a hot dog. It tastes real good. I better watch a movie from Hollywood. Hot dog, it tastes real good.
and gentlemen, the monster which the peasants in this area call Frunobulax, apparently a very large poodle dog, has just been seen approaching the power plant. Bullets can't stop it. Rockets can't stop it. We may have to use nuclear force. Base of the mountain is attempting to lure the enormous poodle towards a cave where they hope to destroy it with napalm. 1,000 of the troopers are now lined up and are calling to the monster.
Here, Fido. Here, Fido. Here, Fido.
Saw them do that live in 1974 in Edinburgh, and I was a senior in high school, and I just went fucking crazy over that song. So that's my story about that song. What did you guys think?
You are such a fucking weirdo, Carl. But I love you.
Well, I must
well,
be
that should be a surprise
too,
to me, Steve. That's not a surprise to you, is it?
Yeah, I must be a weirdo, too, because that was off of my favorite live Frank Zappa album, Roxy and Elsewhere, which was released in 1974, like you said. I think it's also on You Can't Do That on Stage Anymore, and it was done in Helsinki. Like maybe in the 80s, whenever that was, which was a compilation of three Helsinki, Finland shows. But yeah, I love Cheapness, and it's spelled Cheepness, in case anybody's Googling. But yeah, that's just Frank Zappa. You know what I mean? Just the crazy lyrics, the fantastic composition. Musical composition that he does, you know. And
musicians.
I haven't heard that goddamn song in fucking 30 years, Carl.
Well, that's one of my favorites.
I love it.
And it is so appropriate for tonight's show. I'm serious.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
All right.
You know,
Rachel's only...
Rachel's only comment was, you're a fucking weirdo.
Yep, that was my comment on that. I love you anyway, but since you decided to play your experimental, weird shit, I am going to play my experimental weird British French progressive rock, which also happens to be about one of my favorite movies of all time, and that would be The Professional, or better, even better, Leon the Professional, a little rougher than just the professional version. But this song is by a band called Alt-J. I was introduced to them a couple years ago. They take a little bit of they kind of grow on you. The first time you hear them, they're a little odd to get used to, but they end up being a really kind of trancy, fun band. And so, yeah, this is the song Matilda by Alt-J.
Here we go.
This is wrong. This is wrong. This is from Matilda.
Like that. You know, I'd never heard of them. I put it into the system, and I really like that tune.
And that's not one of their better songs, but it is arguably one that should have gotten more recognition. And, I mean, especially if you've seen the movie, that song is fucking beautiful. I mean, this is from Matilda. Come on now. The first time I saw that scene, now, it was one of the very few times in my life that I bonded with my biological father. And he out of the blue called me one day, and he was telling me about this movie that he was watching on TV. And I was flipping through and somehow ended up on the same movie. It just so happened to be The Professional, because, of course, it was on American TV. So we ended up sitting there on the phone and watching that movie together, and then both of us broke down bawling like little bitch babies when he said that in the movie and pulls the pin on the grenade. Oh, my God. Or no, he just opens his hand in the grenade. Yeah. But this is from Matilda. Like, fuck yes, man. That was one of the most pivotal scenes in a movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Great film, too. Great fucking film. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Arguably, that one is in my top 10 favorite films. And Alt-J has actually become one of my new favorites to kind of just, like, chill to. Like, if I'm sewing or I'm doing, like, a repetitive task, you know, I can kind of get a groove going with them. So, yeah, it's they've always been a fun one since I've heard them the first time a few years ago.
So what did you think, TC?
It's funny what you just said, Rachel, because when I was listening to it, I was thinking, man, this song's got a nice groove to it. Exactly. Now, do you know where their name comes from?
I do not.
If you're on an Apple Mac computer and you hit Alt and J at the same time, it brings up the Delta Triangle, which technically that is their real name, is just a triangle.
Yeah, I've wondered about that because I think that's what's pictured on one of their albums. That's really cool.
Yep, and they make triangles. You know, all their fans always make triangles signs in their shows, and they're all about triangles. They mention them in songs. But that's
that's where their name comes from.
They're actually technically their name is just a triangle, kind of like Prince with his little symbol.
Yeah.
But that's
well,
where you get it
from
hitting Alt and J.
Another interesting thing about them is that was not actually the only one of their songs that was inspired by a movie. They have a number of them, including Breeze Blocks, which is their major hit. And that was the first one I heard was Breeze Blocks. And I just found out when I was hitting up the songs about movies Wikipedia, Breeze Blocks popped up. That one's about Where the Wild Things Are. And that makes that song make so much sense.
Nice.
Hey, you know, by the way, Bowling for Soup, when I was looking, you know, to see if they're still going, they had an album. They had an album of all soundtrack covers. I think it was like 2010, 2012, around then. It was an album. They completely covered soundtracks, like, you know, a song from in different movies. So I'm going to look that up and see what that's all about.
Oh, heck
no,
yeah.
Speaking about movies, it's called Bowling for Soup Goes to the Movies.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Whose turn is it?
I think it's you, TC.
Me? Okay. I don't know how either one of you feel about this, but if you would agree with me, James Dean, his legend is bigger than the man or the actor. I mean, you know, I appreciate everything he did, but, you know, in his short life.
100%
but
agree.
Anyways, yeah, you know, like the legend got bigger than the guy. But anyways, the song James Dean was done by the Eagles, okay? In 1972, they originally wrote it. And they're going to put it on a concept album that they were planning with celebrated anti-heroes. So he wrote that song. He also wrote Doolin Dalton, But subsequently, subsequent tracks kind of turned into a Western-themed album, and it became Desperado. We all know that album. So they shelved the James Dean song until 1974 and put it on their album, On the Border. But it was written by Glenn Frey, Don Henley, J.D. Seller, Jackson Browne. They were all in on writing it. Never made it too far up. It was only like number 77 as a single, but got a lot of airplay. But came from the classic line that came out of it, too fast to live, too young to die, bye-bye. But when I was looking up the song, it's pretty cool. James Dean's first two acting gigs were a Pepsi commercial, and he is in a 1951 television Easter special on the family show, on the weekly show Family Theater, and he played John the Apostle. James Dean is John the Apostle. But this is the Eagles' James Dean song. Go ahead, Carl.
All right, here we go. About that one, great song by the Eagles.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because when I was reading about the song, so many critics were like, wow, this is a rock song by the Eagles? This song fucking rocks. And they harmonize all the way through it, which is pretty cool. So.
Yeah, I'm not usually the biggest fan of the Eagles, but I actually liked that one pretty well. So there you go, TC.
I was trying to remember if you liked the Eagles or not, and I didn't think you really did, or at least were not a fan of them. But that song, like I said, I mean, it gets some radio play, you know, deep cut stations and stuff like that, but it only made it to number 77. But pretty cool song. You know, it's a tribute to James Dean, and the Too Fast to Live, Too Young to Die is such a great line.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yep.
So I guess it's me.
It's me, boy.
Okay,
since
I'm going to do a particular song. I was going to do another one, but this is connected sort of to the Eagles. So back in the day, I was looking at the cutouts in the albums. I saw this album called Rigor Mortis Sets In, and I said, I have to buy it. And it was by John Entwistle of The Who.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great album. And of course, it has his sense of humor in it. But in 1981, he did his last album, which is called Too Late to Hero. And this is the title track off that album. And the reason that I'm doing it now is because all the guitar parts are done by the then Eagles guitarist, also known from other bands, but that would be Joe Walsh. And you've got Joe Vitale on drums, Billy Nichols sang backing vocals. And so this is a song that when I first heard it, I literally almost went into tears, because this really mirrored my situation at the time. And so we've got Too Late to Hero by John Entwistle.
Thank you.
And there you go. I just tried to fade it out, but it worked out well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey. One more time.
Yeah. So what did you think of that? You probably never heard that before.
Well, you know, I did. Because there was another song off that album called Talk Dirty. Which got some airplay. And because of that, I looked at it before. You know, it's interesting. You said you found that as a cutout album?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I didn't find that as a cutout album. I found Rigor Mortis Section.
Oh, you found that? Okay.
His first album.
I was wondering.
Or his second album,
actually. Yeah, that was like his fifth studio album, which is pretty impressive for a bass player in the 70s.
Yeah.
But that one got to number 71 on the U.S. album chart. And it was the best song.
Yeah, and the single
hit
just bubbled under 100. It was the single was 101, actually, I think.
Yeah, just off the bubble. So oh, I love that song. For a bass player that never had a microphone in front of him while he's playing with the Who, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I can't say.
Oh,
no, listen, usually not.
His stuff is really interesting too. And he, you know, I mean, he showed his sense of humor somewhat in the Who, but Rigor Mortis Sets In is one of the great albums, and it has songs like Peggy, She Really Knows How to Hop. Okay.
Yeah, I know that. I know that song. Great. I know this works, so enough about me. How about Rachel?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I got raptured, guys.
Oh, goodness.
I saw that on your Facebook Messenger.
Yes,
I
was raptured. Sorry about
that,
guys.
I saw that you were muted, so I didn't check the messenger. I thought you were just doing something.
No, I got raptured again. But I am back. I thought that was an interesting song. Probably not my favorite of the night, but it was pretty good. Pretty good. I like you guys said, it's an excellent album. I will definitely agree with that. And since we're going with, you know, mixed up bands, you said what, the guitarist from The Who was, or the guitarist from The Eagles was there, or... Anyway, I'm going to do one, a nice combination, and I'll go into a little bit of backstory. We all know my extreme, deep, deep love for music, musical comedy. I love singing comedians. I love people who can write songs that are funny. I just love funny music. I really, really do. It started with Ray Stevens and just never stopped after that. So this is Lonely Island, a more modern musical comedy group, most famous probably for their collaboration with Justin Timberlake, wherein they did first Dick in a Box, and then the follow-up to Dick in a Box, Mother Lovers, which I do make sure to play and dedicate to all the mothers every year on Mother's Day. So... plan on hearing that one sometime in the future.
Isn't that coming up?
What was that?
Isn't Mother's Day coming up soon?
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm a mom and I don't even know. I'm like, whatever. It's just another day. But
well, 2 weeks from now, then we should have a mother's show in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
We can do it. That'll be our show for 2 weeks from now. We'll do the Mother's Day.
Carl's going to play all Mothers of Invention. I know he is.
No, I'm not.
Well, anyway,
that's my presence to my favorite mother at this point, and that would be Rachel.
Oh, thank you. I have two kids that agree. My little 4-year-old tells me all the time, Mommy, you're my bestest mommy ever. And I'm like, you don't even know what that means. But thanks, kid. I like you too. Anyway, so this is The Lonely Island, and again, I told you that they like to do collaborations. This is not with Justin Timberlake, but another artist that they like to collaborate collaborate with, and that would be the infamous Michael Bolton. And yes, he is doing this and absolutely making fun of himself. So I want you to understand that Michael Bolton knows how fucking cheesy he is, and he is running with it now, and it is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I also have a tendency to send the Michael Bolton happy birthday song to people on their birthdays. And if you've never seen that on YouTube, look it up. It is amazing.
And by the way, I put this in the studio. I could not just stop laughing. The video is friggin' hysterical.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a few of those songs of mine tonight that the videos are just as good as the songs, if not better. And this one is a great one. So stick through the beginning with me, guys. You'll see where this is going. Let's do some Jack Sparrow by Lonely Island featuring Michael Bolton.
Guys, Michael Bolton is here.
Oh, great. Send him in.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going? I'm really sorry I'm late. I just got caught up watching the Pirates of the Caribbean marathon. Have you seen those things?
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Well, I listened to your track, and I loved it. And I wrote you this big, sexy hook. I think you're going to really dig.
Oh, wow. That's great. Right. You want to just lay it down?
Boys. Let's get to it,
Here we go. Lonely Island, Michael Bolton. Tonight starts together on the track. The boys are back. Tonight starts now. Night starts now, baby, roll with us. Chicken snapping at the neck when we rolling up. Low through the doors, ain't no holding up. Black card at the bar like I give a fuck. Fuck the fellas looking jealous, play the back and get wet. Yeah, yeah. Down in my waist, shank in my sock. You either get cut, get stuffed, or get shot.
Michael Bolton.
He's playing to the cocaine. When he's slowly morphing into Jack Sparrow throughout the fucking God. I just can't even with that song. All right, now back to the good part.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Oh,
it's hysterical. Friggin' hysterical.
I have a
he does a few things with Lonely Island. They actually like to collaborate with him, and it is all absolutely fucking hilarious. I love it that Michael Bolton has embraced people making fun of him, and he's just running with it.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was Jack Sparrow by Michael Bolton and the Lonely Island, but mostly Michael Bolton.
All right, TC, I think
yeah.
it's your turn.
I know Michael Bolton. Well, I don't know him, but I played softball against him. I don't know if I'm sure I've never. Well, also in the 90s while I was working concert production, I don't talk about this much. It's not, I'm bragging like I'm a jock or something, but I played a very high competition level of tournament softball. We traveled the country and stuff. I made about 12 grand a year playing softball. So anyways, Michael Bolton had a team, a high level, and he's a good fucking ball player too. And, you know, I had a lot of good guys. We ran into him a couple times in tournaments. One time we ran into him, we played against him, we beat his team, and it was in Dothan, Alabama. We beat him, and I think it was 1994. But it was so crazy when I heard Michael Bolton has a fucking softball team, and then these guys came out, and they were thumpers, and he can play ball. Could. Well, I could, too, but I think that's all. That ship sailed. But anyways, that's my Michael Bolton story, and it is my turn. So
it is indeed.
So nobody's impressed with that story. I'm not.
Totally impressed.
Ways. My next choice is a wacky song I found by an English group called, and they're from the late 70s, they're called Quantum Jump. Now you're thinking Quantum Leap. One of the guys in the band was friends with a guy from Cambridge University who was on the team that discovered the Quantum Leap, which is like electrons going fucking crazy. The original name of the Quantum Leap was actually Quantum Jump, and they changed it to Quantum Leap, but the band stuck with Quantum Jump because they said it was more of a groovy tune. And they did a song called The Lone Ranger. And the song made it to number 5 on UK charts, but never found its way across the pond to America. Now, this is cool. Now, listen very closely at the beginning. The producer of the song wanted something more interesting for the intro to the song, and the frontman of the band added what is considered the longest place name in the world, and it's Maori for a hill in New Zealand. There are 85 letters in the name. Okay, so he chants it in a cappella and in like in a Native American tied in better for the Cowboys and Indian theme of the song. But it's the longest place name in the world that he'll say at the beginning of this. And by the way, there were 6 Lone Ranger movies predated this song. The first one was made in 1938. So this is The Lone Ranger by Quantum Jump with the longest place name in the world. Go ahead, girl.
Here we go.
Head, I gave my brother. bit. Try it on with Surly Tonto. Let me say to Mr. Lawman, Tonto doesn't mind.
Okay, that has to be the weirdest song we've done, and I did friggin' Zappa.
You didn't pick it. You didn't choose it. I chose it.
Yeah, I know. That's something. I like it. Okay, don't get me wrong. I like it, but
something. How could you not like it? But how about that word? That was so weird about that. I mean, 85 letters in that word. That nameplate.
That is the craziest thing I've heard. Like, wow.
It's funny because he's talking about like killing them at night and eat them for breakfast in the morning. All sorts of weird shit. A lot of craziness.
Yeah.
Going on.
You know, I actually thought when I saw this, I thought it was going to be a take on the Lenny Bruce routine on the Lone Ranger. But it wasn't.
Ah,
so.
No. No, that was pretty unique. So, but look at the, you know, check the video. Actually, Google the song, you know, like in Wikipedia, and look at the name of that he wrote off and how he did it. Was like, my God, why anybody would name a hill with 85 letters, you know?
Oh, exactly.
So,
yeah,
okay.
I was thinking that the whole time. And how you memorize that, Jesus.
I know. Well, if you see it in print, you know, like in Wikipedia, it's like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. So, that's my wackiness for the night. Quantum Jump.
Okay.
The Lone Ranger. I think it was 1978 or 79 that came out.
Yeah, that sounds, it had a little bit of disco going for it, too, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of disco.
Little pop synth. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess it's my turn, and we're going to go with probably the best known tune. And yes, it's the first of two Kinks tunes, but of course this is not by the Kinks. This is a takeoff on Lola by the Kinks. And of course, this is Weird Al, and it's Yoda.
Oh, thank you.
So you're welcome.
I met them in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A soda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name, and in a raspy voice he said Yoda. Y-O-D-A Yoda. Yo-yo-yo-yo-yo. Me in the air just by raising his hand. Oh my God. And if you start to go astray, let the force be your guide. Oh, my Yoda. Yo, 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 Yoda. I know Darth Vader's really got you annoyed, but remember, if you kill him, then you'll be unemployed. Oh, my Yoda. Yo, 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 Yoda.
About Weird Al is when he does a cover like that, it's like dead on musically. Seriously.
Oh, well, that
absolutely.
That's one of the things I was going to say. His backing band, and he had pretty much the same musicians for a long time, were phenomenal. I mean, they were good. And to be able to replicate, you know, what an original band sound like, you know, was just incredible. I was just looking them up. Jim West, guitars; Steve J, bass; John Bermuda Schwartz, drums, organs; maraca, and bubbles. He plays the bubbles.
Well, if you've ever seen a Weird Al concert, which I have not seen him live yet, and he comes to Little Rock pretty frequently. Jeremy's back here in the background going, I have. And I'm like,
I've never seen him.
But I have seen his concerts like back in the day when VH1 and MTV still played music. I saw a Weird Al concert. I think it was his White and Nerdy tour. And it was fucking fantastic. I mean, the guy literally changes costumes for every song.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're waiting between the songs. Like, it's insane. And he's got so much fucking energy and just, wow. Like, Weird Al is definitively one of the best musicians around. Like, period. That's it. Weird Al is fantastic. And I don't care what you think. That guy is so talented.
No, absolutely. And well, if he doesn't get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm going to kick somebody. Seriously.
Yeah,
oh, my
song,
God. Yes.
That song came, I looked, and it was off his 1985 album, Dare to Be Stupid. So that was right at the peak of MTV. Did you see my post the other day? It's the 40th anniversary of MTV. Thank you for 14 years of music.
Yeah.
I think it was even less. It was around 9 or 10 years, really. But yeah, that was great. That was a great pick there, Carl.
And I am glad that you picked that one because I was really debating. I have two of them from Weird Al, and he's actually got more songs about movies. But the Weird Al album that I got when I was younger, one of my first Weird Al albums was Running with Scissors. And it had The Saga Continues. And I almost chose, like, I was really debating between Yoda and The Saga Continues. And then something pulled me in a different direction. So thank you for that, Carl. I needed some Weird Al on this show. You know my feelings.
You know, and it's a King
song,
tell you? So it's perfect.
Yep.
And you know what? I have the most perfect song to follow that up with, Carl, and I bet you know where I'm going to go with this one. Since we're talking we've kind of been, you know, going on this movie, trilogy or, you know, multiple movies, series kind of songs lately. You know, we've got the Lone Ranger, and we had, you know, all the other ones. So this next one, I don't have to explain too much because Mr. Stephen Colbert explains it himself. This is the Lord of the Rings 20th anniversary rap by Stephen Colbert and, like, everybody. You have to watch this one, too, because all of the cameos he gets in there are fucking fantastic. And it is
absolutely
exponentially funnier when you watch the video that they do for it. But it's still fantastic even just to listen to. And I do have to say, shout out to Jeremy. He's the one that introduced me to this one, and I about died laughing. So
oh, I agree.
Stephen Colbert's 20th anniversary Lord of the Rings rap.
Not only has it been a heck of a year, it's also been a heck of a decade, a heck of a century, for that matter, a heck of a millennium. So we here at The Late Show are about to take a much-needed holiday break. The only thing I regret about it is that means I won't be on the air next week to celebrate the 20th anniversary of The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, which also happens to be the 20th anniversary of me not shutting up about The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. It was 20 years ago this Sunday that this movie kicked off my favorite film series of all time. And what I want to know is, where the hell are the celebrations? How is it possible that we are not marking it as a people? Harry Potter is getting a giant 20th anniversary special with a full cast reunion. Seriously? Harry Potter's fine, but it's no Lord of the Rings. I mean, Dumbledore couldn't take a Balrog. Dumbledore was killed by a high school chemistry teacher. So I think Peter Jackson's towering achievement deserves the same kind of treatment, because if you ask me, there is no better film series. Lord of the Rings is without a doubt the greatest trilogy in movie history. And I know I may have said that many times before, but I have never, not once, rapped it. Until now. Jimmy, jam me.
Lord of the Rings, number one trilogy of all time. The number one trilogy, the number one trilly. Try to deny and you just sound silly. Worldwide gross of almost 3 billion. 16 times what they made on Free Willy. You whales. Best triple feature, hell yeah, we would win it. We got the only trilogy with everything in it. Don't believe me, you could check for yourself. The Godfather doesn't even have one now. CGI, oh my god, yeah we have that. Andy Serkis doing work with motion capture in it. Star Wars is better, you make me sick. Jar Jar can go ahead and suck my ring.
Lord of the Rings is the number one trilly.
Ask Darth Monahan.
Or you can ask Billy.
Sean Astin's here too? Well, that's actually silly.
Will Elijah Wood join us?
I don't know, really. Dwarf, wizard, human, hobbits of the Shire. Bring the ring to Mount Doom and I throw it in the fire.
Such a good trill that I wish they made four, though.
These songs are better decent than your favorite porno.
A strider, some riders, golem, a spider. We got a gray wizard and we got one that's wider.
Best trill ever, baby, don't you forget.
That's right, and the Kendrick pitch perfect day.
What the hell? How do we were friends. Damn.
That's Gary, he's hairy, ooh, eagle can the airy.
Remember when the four of us were Buckleberry Terry?
Plus we got dedication, yeah, Vigo knows.
Dude lost a tooth and he broke two toes.
Number one trilly, head of the class.
You think any different, you can kiss my ass.
I ain't taking no questions, so you best not ask.
Test me, mother and you shall not pass. Lordy, lordy, we won some awards, B. Cutting down pretenders like Aragorn swore, G. 17 Oscars, that's king forever. That's more than these three motherfuckers.
put together. Effects, impeccable. Costumes unassailable. I'm only on this song because Ian McKellen's unavailable.
Show him, Mike. Back to the future. Oh, you got a DeLorean? We got pixie elves all over LaFlorian. An archaeologist? Sorry, I'm snoring. It's Indiana Jones in the Temple of Boring. Billionaire fights crime? I don't understand her. The Dark Knight's capitalistic propaganda. And hockey ain't the Mighty Ducks. And I know it's 5 movies, but Twilight sucks. Anakin.
I'm barely in those movies.
The women are gorgeous, the fellas are cute.
Let my man rap an Elvish while Serpent plays a flute.
Token onion, go more out than this is senior lumber. Harrier, Exenil, then Yannar, Aqua Cantalamar. Blade, we master, Beverly, Umbo, Reva, Laude, E. Da Vinci, Sarati, Dan Brown, Quetta Vera, Lambia, Vevehida. Yeah.
Lord of the Rings is the number one trilly. Movie so sick, I gotta take an ad billy. When I'm sipping down the dilly, sipping chamomile. Lord of the Rings is the number one trilly.
But I will admit, the Naked Gun movies are pretty great.
Lord of the Rings is the number one trilly. Ask anybody and they know the dilly. From Jackson, Billy, to Manila, Philly. Ask all the fishes, the seaweed, the trilly. Lord of the Rings is the number one trilly. Lord of the Rings is the number one trilly. Lord of the Rings is the number one trilly. Trilly, trilly, trilly.
The official, exclusive Lord of the Rings 20th anniversary celebration, the one celebration to rule them all. Thank you, Elijah Wood, Sean Astin, Billy Boyd, Dominic Monaghan, Hugo Weaving, Andy Serkis, Orlando Bloom, Viggo Mortensen, Method Man, Killer Mike, and Anna Kendrick. And thank you, Sir Peter Jackson, and a happy 20th anniversary to all who made this movie and all who celebrated. We'll be right back with Danny Zalwell.
That is great, and you've got to watch the video. You've got to watch the video.
Yes, because that really is Anna Kendrick, and every time they just, like, randomly diss her, it cuts to her doing something like she's in her kitchen making a sandwich, and she's like, what? What? That wasn't necessary. And then, like, the next time when they go, they're talking about the Twilight movies, and they go, fuck Anna Kendrick. She goes, I was barely in those movies. Because I don't know if you remember, but she famously quoted as saying she was in an interview at one point, and the interviewer asked her about her role in Twilight, and she had to think about it for a minute, and she's like, oh, yeah, I was in that movie, wasn't I? Oops. So,
that
yeah. I always thought that one, not always, but Jeremy introduced me to that one, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious because we actually have that argument in this household because I'm not the biggest Lord of the Rings fan. I'm definitely more Star Wars as far as that's concerned, and, yeah, let's just say that that's been a point of contention here, but I think we can work past it. I at least played the Lord of the Rings song in his honor, so.
Yay, Jeremy!
Well, for me, the ultimate trilogy is the Naked Gun movies, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, you do see they did give appropriate props to the movies.
Yeah.
I won't even tell you what mine is. Well, yes, I will.
That was
the Mick Travis trilogy, but you have no idea what movies are in that one, so never mind.
Yeah, no clue.
But that was genius, what he wrote. I mean, you know, everything, just going through all those movies and stuff, I mean, that was well written.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I'm so happy you guys enjoyed that one as much as I did, because I just, like I said, I thought it was absolutely hilarious, and I love hearing new, funny songs, so that made my fucking day last week.
There you go, new fresh stuff, just like the Lone Ranger, fresh to us.
Super fresh.
41 years old, but fresh to us. So.
Exactly.
Carl, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Were you a Blue Oyster Cult fan back in the 70s, back in the day?
Not particularly, though. I know the song you're playing, and I love this song.
Okay, well, I'm just asking you if you're into the band, you know.
Not
really. Okay, I was a huge Blue Oyster Cult fan.
I remember
okay,
that. I remember that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Picture this, Rachel. Picture this, Rachel.
I personally, you what?
Picture this, okay?
Okay.
1977, Blue Oyster Cult, Rich Stadium, Orchard Park, New York. And I was tripping balls on purple microdot or orange barrel, whatever the flavor of the day acid was at the time. And it was the first time I ever saw an outdoor laser show at a concert. So,
oh,
of course,
shit.
You know, the late 1977. So it was, you know, I mean, of course, by today's standards, it was very primitive. But between the laser show and the acid, it was a hell of a show. But anyways, that was, I think, June 77. And in September 77, Blue Oyster Cult came out with their, I think it was their fourth, yeah, it was their fourth studio album. And on there was Godzilla. All right. I can't tell you if they played it in the show. They might have played it. But anyways, the song failed to chart as a single, but you know how much it got airplay. You know, you heard it all time. Well, we're going to hear Godzilla, but here's an interesting thing. The band members, Buck Dharma and Eric Bloom, they were a little pissed that the song wasn't included in the 1998 soundtrack to the Godzilla movie. So they wrote a parody called Nozilla, which they distributed only to radio stations. And I haven't heard that yet. I got to find that. Nozilla. But anyways, we're going to hear Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult.
Here we go. Nice, nice. By the way, before we get into it, I just want to say we got about 3 minutes till overtime. So if you're listening to this, you won't hear the rest of the show until like 15 minutes later when it downloads. So just come back to it. All right. So that is a classic. That's a friggin' classic.
You know, I think I had an acid flashback during it because I'm sitting between my apartment building and the one next to it. There's about 20 feet in between. We got a little garden area. I got a table out here. And there's a sidewalk next to the next building. So I'm sitting here, and it's kind of dark here, a little bit of street light coming from the alley, but a possum just walked down the sidewalk, and he stopped right in front of me while that song was playing, and I could swear his head was bobbing, and then he walked away.
You gonna be okay there, TC?
I don't know, man. I think I had an acid flashback, like I said.
I don't know, man. Am I going to be okay?
Whoa.
That's tubular.
Yeah. So, okay. What'd you think of that, Rachel? You've heard it 1,000 times.
I have heard it 1,000 times, and I could hear it 1,000 more. I mean, there's just certain songs from that era, and especially from, well, Blue Oyster Cult. I mean, come on. Don't Fear the Reaper. I don't care. I don't care if it's a remake. I don't care if it's you know, them playing it. I don't care if it's them doing their, you know, revamped version of it. I don't care. I don't get tired of that song. It's beautiful.
As Carl could tell you, I could go deep, deep, deep in Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Stuff up. You know, like the last days of May, and oh, man, just so much good shit there. But, the song, if you look up like a video on this song, the one I actually took it off, and you talk about cheapness, Carl. They had the original Godzilla movie, you know, clips from it in the video, and to see that, you know, and everybody back then thought, wow, you know, the special effects here are incredible, but boy, were they cheap. You know, like when he picks up the bus and throws it down, and all these little Japanese guys running down the street, and it's hilarious. It's so
yeah, but
fun.
You love it anyway. God, I loved those movies when I was growing up. I was hooked on Godzilla. So when this song came out, it's like, go ahead.
What was the original year, you think? I never looked it up. Well, how old was Godzilla?
1956, I think, was Gojira.
Wow.
Now, that wasn't released until 58, and they Americanized it with Raymond Burr. But the original one was Gojira, and we are now going into overtime, so I'm hoping that we're okay because I got two songs and one's really important. So here we go. We're like 3 seconds, 2, 1, 0. Okay, we're good. We're good. So I'm gonna go on here, and I'm going to give one of my favorite doo-wop songs, and this is by the Drifters, one of the great groups of the 50s and 60s, and this one is a classic. This one is called Saturday Night at the Movies.
Oh, I saw this
on the list. Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the little neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
You're hugging with your baby, last row in the balcony. Well, there's Technicolor and the CinemaScope, a cast out of Hollywood, and the popcorn.
corn from the candy stand makes it all seem quite as good. There's always lots of pretty girls with features that don't try to hide, but they never can compare to the girl sitting by my side.
Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
When you're hurting with your baby, last row in the balcony.
From 1964. That's not Clyde McFadder. That's Johnny Moore on the lead vocals, along with Charlie Thomas. And that song was written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Wilde. And I love that song. I love that song. It's so fun. What do you
think? I genuinely liked that one.
When I saw you had that on the song list, I said, "Oh, I know it's going to be my favorite song of the night." You know me, Carl, man. I just love that shit. Love it.
Oh, yeah. So do I.
I've never heard that one before, but I absolutely loved it. Like, I loved it. I was just sitting here doo-wopping and bebopping along with it, you know?
I heard it not too long ago because I listened to Tom Petty's Buried Treasure on Sirius XM. You know, he gets back into that, and he played it about a month ago. I heard it. So,
oh wow!
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's good stuff. And by the way,
absolutely,
if you want to really dig back to you. I mean, he plays so many. I'm talking in the present tense, but there's a Sirius XM station, Tom Petty's Buried Treasure, with all his shows. He did about 400 of those shows, like weekly shows. And he pulled out some stuff that, you know, and it's funny, I'm driving down the road and I'm taking a picture, and Rachel, I've sent you a picture, the pictures before of songs, you know, as I'm listening, hearing them, they come up on the radio, but I'll hear something and I'll take a picture of it so I can listen to it again or put it on my list for future or whatever. But boy, that was great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
Yep.
That's probably my favorite new pick of the night. Like, something that I haven't heard before, definitely. Like, I really enjoyed that one. But I really like that kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah. And just think, it's only, 60 years old. And it's new to us.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Just like the Lone Rangers. The Lone Ranger is 40-some years old, and it's new to us. So...
Well, exactly.
New to you, and that's why we're here.
Well, and I'm about to pick a relatively old one. I believe they've already celebrated their, let's see, 1977.
45th was 2020.
That's
the 45th anniversary.
45th.
Here comes that bubble
they were
awesome
also,
again.
They were also performing this song when it was still just a stage production.
Right.
And, of course, I am talking about one of the best songs about movies in movie history because, yes, it is a soundtrack song for probably what is ultimately my favorite weird movie of all time. I grew up loving this. probably why I'm so bent is because I saw this movie for the first time when I was 6 years old. And that, of course, would be the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
And I just have to say that this is one of the greatest homages to old school movies of all time. I think this would have paired really, really well with your Frank Zappa about the cheesy movies, because that's what a lot of these are. And, of course, you know, if you're familiar with us, you're probably already familiar with this song, which is why I couldn't leave it out. Yeah, science fiction double feature by the cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Little Nell's lips are actually the ones that are narrating the they're the lips, the famous lips. Or wait, it might be Patricia Quinn. Yeah, anyway, I can't remember if it was Little Nell or Patricia Quinn, but one of the women, either Magenta or Columbia, is actually the person behind.
It was Little Nell. It was Little Nell.
Ah, yes. She is the person behind the famous, famous red Rocky Horror Picture Show lips. And here we go, without further ado, one of the best movie songs of all time, science fiction double feature.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a cellular jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space. And this is how the message ran.
Thank you. the late night double feature picture show in the back row. Double feature picture show.
Da 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 da. Bring, bring, wedding bells.
Okay, thank you, Rachel. I can
go through the rest of the script if you need to. This is the part where the photographer is telling everybody to gather around. And, you know, they take pictures, and Ralph and Brad are talking, and then it's like, oh, it was so wonderful, Brad. You know. Anyway.
Right before the Damn It Janet.
Yep, it's right before the Damn It Janet scene. And little known fact, if you watch the movie, every single character in that scene, including the oddball family that stick around later, are all characters that are later in the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, the family is comprised of Riff Raff, Frankenfurter, Magenta, and Columbia. And all of the people that are on the steps are later the partygoers. So,
Meatloaf
thing there.
Meatloaf wasn't in the wedding scene.
No, Meatloaf wasn't in that one because he was still locked in the freezer at that point. Can't forget.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
that's true.
So that is my finals for the evening. I think that so far we've been doing great. I can't wait to see what you've got and what you guys think about that one.
All righty.
Well, I mean, that's a classic. It's a classic. Yeah, that's a great song. So go ahead, TC.
Yeah, and who wasn't visualizing the lips as we're listening to that, you know? That's all I could think of.
I know exactly. I mean, I have that whole opening sequence completely memorized, including how, like, she really over-exaggerates certain things and then exactly where it freeze frames and then just, you know, fades the lips in the background and the credits keep rolling over them. Yeah, no, I was doing the whole thing. I mean, I've seen this movie so many times in my life that I can't
too.
Even. I'm such a fan.
I saw the movie. It was probably 78 or 79 in Denver, and it was a midnight movie, and this theater has, up until COVID, this movie had the longest continuous showing, this movie house, continuous midnight showing a Rocky Horror Picture Show up until COVID shut it down. It was like every Saturday night, I think it was, at midnight, they played that movie, and boy, you went. And that was where to see it. And to see the movie in a theater where people dress up and they bring the props and they throw the popcorn during the wedding scene and everything, it's just insane.
Oh, God.
You know, the people
I've only done that.
Acting it out.
I've only done that a few times in my life. I actually, the last time I did it was a number of years ago, but it was a fantastic memory because we had this little independent cinema out here that played all the foreign films and shit that nobody else got. And they did a showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And with the price of your admission, you were given a package of goodies, like a brown paper sack full of everything you needed. And even instructions on when to do stuff. And I took my godmother and my godsister, who at the time had just turned, let's see, she was, I think she was 17 maybe, had never seen or even heard of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, did not know what she was in for. And holy shit, did we have an absolute blast. Like, she's never seen her mom like that before, and I'm talking, you know, jumping up and screaming at the screen and all of it.
Sure.
And it was just absolutely magical. I do not think it can be recreated at this point, but I definitely want to try sometime.
So I have something to say about this. Rachel, I've told you this. I want to see if TC can guess this. So the OAM Theater actually played this at midnight. And the drama club of UPB went to it. We got a bus and that sort of thing. And I dressed up as a particular character in the movie. Do you want to guess who I dressed up as?
You're the doctor. Did you dress up as the doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, I had a fucking wheelchair.
You fucking
look
like
called it too, TC. Don't worry. We both went the exact same direction with that. We were like, I know you.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay. Moving along.
So it's your turn, TC.
You guys are probably wondering, what the hell is TC doing with an Iron Maiden song on my list?
Oh, I know which one you're going to play. I almost picked this one.
Then you're familiar with the movie, the Michael Douglas movie from 1993 called Falling Down.
Oh,
you know that movie?
I actually own that movie.
Okay,
it's
Carl, you know that movie?
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Okay. Iron Maiden wrote this song, Man on the Edge, and it follows the movie script precisely. The song was written about the movie. And you'll hear the chorus, falling down, falling down, falling down.
This is not the one I was thinking of. They've actually had a few songs they wrote about movies, which, strangely enough, a lot of the artists on our list tonight have. I just wanted to mention that.
Well, this was about that 1993 Michael Douglas movie, Falling Down. And quick story for anybody who's not familiar with it. Unemployed guy that just had about the worst day possible, and he just kind of fucking went nuts at the end. But this is Iron Maiden. And Man on the Edge from the movie Falling Down.
And here we go.
Stop the way you stand and it's back up for miles.
Okay. He's falling down, that's for sure.
Yeah. Pretty
and
cool.
See, I was actually going to pick one for you, Carl, which is another Iron Maiden song about the Wicker Man.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Iron Maiden has a few songs about movies. I think they went on a little kick there. Maybe did like a whole album or something, because they got a lot on the Wikipedia page.
Nice.
Carl, I'm looking at the time. I'm looking at the time. You better get your song in.
Well, let me put it this way. We had a lot of great songs about movies today, but this is the best song.
Well,
about movies.
It is.
It's
the ultimate.
When we did this, I immediately told everyone, we're not doing, do not pick this song. This is mine. And, of course, I'm talking about Celluloid Heroes by the Kinks. But I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you. This is a cover version.
Oh?
And I want you both to guess who it is. Listen to it. I'll go to Rachel first, because you have a chance to get this, TC, knowing you. I don't think Rachel will. This is a cover version of Celluloid Heroes by the Kinks, but it's not by the Kinks. So here we go.
It doesn't matter who you are, and those who are successful, be always on your guard. Success walks hand in hand with failure along Hollywood Boulevard. Was a non-stop Hollywood movie show, a fantasy world of celluloid villains and heroes. Because celluloid heroes never feel any pain, and celluloid heroes never really Hollywood movie show, a fantasy world of celluloid villains and heroes. Because celluloid heroes never feel any pain, and celluloid heroes never really die.
I love that song. It almost makes me cry every time I hear it, and that's a great version. So, Rachel, have you ever heard the song before first?
Yes, I've heard the Kinks, but I have not heard that version, but I have heard that voice before.
Okay. Do you have any idea who it might be?
No.
Okay. So, first, I know you know the song, TC. Have you ever heard that version before?
Sure have.
Okay, so who is
Steve
it?
Vai. It's Steve Vai, isn't it?
Yep, it's Steve Vai, who was, of course, guitarist with Frank Zappa. That is a superb cover. That's a fucking great cover.
Wasn't he also the one that played the demon in the musical Duel in the movie Crossroads?
Yes.
Well, you know, I knew it was Steve Vai. I knew it was a cover, but I had to look it up anyways just to get a little background information. It came off a compilation album he had in 2002. But he recorded that song for the movie Interview with the Vampire, but it was rejected from the soundtrack.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that sucks.
Wow.
That's great.
No,
I just read that. I just read. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's off a compilation album. So I looked at the track list and it said that it was like 1994 or something, whatever year that movie came out. But yeah, he covered it for the movie and they rejected it. So
that's
there you
ridiculous.
Have it.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, the song, no matter who does that song, I don't care who, if it's the worst cover you've ever heard of that song, those lyrics are so poetic. And they just codify what a great genius Ray Davies is. That will always be the song about movies. Okay,
I might have a candidate for the worst cover, because when I was looking up the song, Pauly Shore covered it in a YouTube video in 2020.
I know, and I saw 30 seconds of that, and I had to turn it the fuck off. Seriously,
that's probably your worst
that.
One right there.
Yeah.
I don't even want to hear it. I didn't want to know that. It said Tim Curry used to cover it live in his shows when he was on tour.
Wow. That I could find pretty interesting. Like, see, recording.
Yeah. Who again was doing it live? I missed that.
Tim Curry.
I can believe that.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah.
I can believe that.
I don't know if there's any YouTube videos of that, but they said he would cover it live when he was on tour. So maybe there's a YouTube video of that. That'd be cool to see.
That would be.
Great, Carl. Thanks. Divorcing yourself, what did you think of the lyrics themselves and just the song?
From the first minute I ever heard that song back in the 70s, you know, it was lyrical genius, really, you know, and it paid such tribute to so many great actors and everything. It's just a fantastic song. And
absolutely.
It is the granddaddy of movie songs by far.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I can agree with that. That one is absolutely gorgeous. And you are right. Like, I'm a huge fan of the lyrics in songs. A lot of times that's really what attracts me to a song is what it's saying. And a lot of times the music will grow on me. I mean, occasionally, you know, a lot of times there's also something that just, I just first time I hear it, I'm stuck for life. But I really appreciate songs that are more lyrically focused.
Yeah. What a good
but
show.
With
yeah,
all
that
being
I can't...
said, I think it's probably yep. time we start a little bit of housekeeping because we are running late tonight, guys.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, I do know that. And I knew we were going to run late tonight because I did have three long songs. Okay, so housekeeping. Let's talk about housekeeping. Tomorrow, TC, what you doing?
Tomorrow night at Rock This Town Radio TC at 8 p.m. Eastern here on Deviant Legion Network. We're doing 90s and Done, or Are They? A lot of good songs you heard back in the 90s. You thought, boy, these people are going somewhere, and then they all just disappeared. Like I said in my Facebook post today, you don't have to look on milk cartons anymore. I'm going to tell you what happened to them. And we're going to play Rachel's most hated song, but she'll get over it. She can hear it one more time in her life. So,
you know, DC, I will listen to it one more time just for you.
Just for me.
But I can still to this day, from memory, I can sing the entire song. All the weird background shit he screams out and all of it. So if it makes you feel any better, I will probably be listening along. And since the song is going to be playing anyway, I will be singing it as well. So
well,
there you go,
there's going to be 11 other great songs on there and one that you, I know you are, absolutely love by it's the longest song title I've ever put on there. And it involves a phone booth. You know the song.
You know, I played that song today because Jeremy was driving back from Little Rock and he had kind of a headache and wanted something really soothing. And I was like, okay, you want some mellow fucking music? I'll play you the mellowest song there is.
Well, you'll be hearing it tomorrow night on Rock This Town Radio at TC. So I hope everybody can listen in.
Oh, absolutely. You do a great show, man. No question. So, Tuesday, Rachel just went yesterday to a spoken word concert by one of her favorite people in the world. And we're going to do a show on that on Tuesday. Why don't you tell them about Tuesday?
Tuesday is called Rachel Loves Henry Rollins because Rachel loves Henry Rollins. I have some great Henry Rollins stories to tell you folks. Oh, my God. including the one time in my life I did actually get to meet Henry Rollins. It was fan-fucking-tastic. One of my prized possessions is actually, it came from that interaction. So it was really, really awesome to be able to see him again, you know, like 10 years later, and to see where he's evolved, because his last tour he went on that I was able to catch, it was a very political tour. This was right before, I believe, Obama was elected. So, yeah, it was a long-ass time ago. And so, yeah, maybe it was like 12 years ago. Anyway, long-ass time ago, he came through Little Rock, and he's actually come through Little Rock pretty frequently. That was part of what he talked about in the show. He's like, you know, a lot of people really, really don't understand. This place is kind of fucking awesome, and you're always a great audience here in Little Rock. Like, that's why I always come back. So, yay, there's lots of stuff, but we're gonna do a whole show about and on and just of Henry Rollins, and we're going to talk about his acting career, his stand-up, spoken word, his writing, all of it. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. And his music. Duh.
Yeah, please. I'm in charge of the music for that show. All right, so
yes,
on Wednesday, we're going to take it back to Rachel because one of our favorite people are coming back after a long while, and we're very, very happy to announce that Kenan Walker will be with us. So tell us a little bit about Kenan.
Kenan is my dear, dear buddy, and I'm actually he's not my dear, dear buddy. I don't get to see him often. But he is a dear friend of the podcast as well as myself personally. And now that I'm living in Memphis, I don't think he knows that yet. I've got to take his ass out to some lunch or some dinner sometime. But he is the duck master at the Peabody, by far one of the coolest jobs in the world. He is an actor. He is a creator. He is a promoter. And he is just all around a fan-fucking-tastically interesting dude. I mean, like, if they have auditions for the world's most interesting man, I really think he needs to go out for that because he's got the coolest job in history. Plus, he's an actor, and he just starred in his, like, first major role, like, starring role, and it happens to be a film that I believe he was doing with one David Arquette. Yes, that David Arquette, and maybe Kenan will have some more stories to tell us about David Arquette's weird duck fetish. So I'm super stoked about that. I am so excited that he's coming back to the show. He is so fun.
And also, he was just on To Tell the Truth in March as the Duckmaster. So they had to guess who the Duckmaster was. So, yeah, go ahead.
Spoiler alert here, guys. If you haven't seen the episode or you plan on watching it and you really want to be surprised, turn off your ears for about 20 seconds. There is a surprise. Two surprise guests, actually, that are both friends of Kenan that make an appearance as the judges. And you don't know until the end when they take off their costumes. They're not the judges. They were
on
people
the previous
in...
one. They're on the previous one.
Yeah.
There are
yeah, they were
the...
But they were there to support their friend Kenan Walker, and that is none other than David Arquette and Paul Rubens. Yes, Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, and David Arquette were both there, and they were there because they were supporting Kenan, but they also decided to get in on the fun. So it's a really awesome episode. And I really cannot wait to talk to him more about that because that was fun. And I really, really, really want to find out more about this movie he's in. So, yay!
And by the way, the movie's name is Jukin, and it premieres on Monday on Stars.
Oh,
it was shot all in Memphis. So that premieres this Monday at Stars. Now, on Thursday, we don't have a show. But I have something personally that is big that's happening. If you remember a week ago, we had Ward Kaufman, or 2 weeks ago, we had Ward Kaufman on the podcast, and it was wonderful to have him. I had met him very briefly down at the Museum of Moving Image. Well, he had COVID at the time. He had to recover. But I am now invited for a private meet and greet down at Troma Entertainment in Long Island City on Thursday afternoon. So I will have a report on that and let you all know. And I just want particularly a lot of our people like Joe Badon and Austin Allen James and so on and so forth. If I get a chance, I'm going to be pushing you guys because I think you're talented. And I think Lloyd might be able to help. Who knows? But we'll get a report on that. So on Friday, okay, there is no show. But on Saturday, we just decided what we're doing on Saturday. And that's going to be a Carl's Cavern, I guess. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick one musician who was in a rock band and then branched out and did other things. And so we're not going to say who they are, but we're going to focus on talent that you may know just from the one rock group, but what they've done since then is pretty friggin' amazing. So that's what we're going to do on Saturday.
I think I got a guy, Carl.
Okay, talk to me.
Well,
okay,
you
do you want to say it now? Yeah,
sure.
Well, if you announce yours, we'll announce ours.
This one's in pencil, okay? But I think I'm going to go with Levon Helm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine's in pencil, too, because I've got a few others, but I'm probably going to stick with this one just because I'm a huge fan and I know lots of all the things there is to know. And that would be David Byrne from the Talking Heads.
And mine's in magic marker and not going to be erased, okay? And it's going to be Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. But,
well, I guess
yeah.
Yours was obvious, too. Rachel, I figured yours was obvious, too. When he said you're thinking David Byrne, I'm like, yeah, of course.
Makes sense. That checks.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but I did throw a few other ideas out at Carl,
and I've got some more. I just really need to think through it over the next day or so, but yeah, I'm probably still going to end up with David Byrne just because, but either way,
yeah,
we've got some fantastic shows, and don't forget, we've already planned for what we're doing 2 weeks from now, which we've decided that the next down the rabbit hole, we're going to do a Mother's Day song. So, of course, I'm sure you can expect to hear, you know, some Danzig, and I already told you we're going to be playing some Mother Lover because, you know, I'm the only mother on this podcast, so damn it, it's my show. I'm playing that song.
The song's
there
with
you
mother in the lyrics and title. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't have to be songs with the word mother in the title. It could be songs about mothers or maybe even a song that just reminds you of your mother. Angry, happy, sad, whatever you feel like. Just focus on the mothers. And, of course, we'll do something for Father's Day, too. Don't worry about that. You know, I got some Papa Don't Preach.
Oh, Jesus.
Absolutely.
Papa was born in stone. I already claimed that one. I claim Papa was born in stone. That's mine.
All right. Well, I think we need to get on a roll here because we are, like, way over time, and I'm sorry about that, but I will say that tonight was a fantastic show.
Absolutely.
I hate to see it end.
All right. Well, unfortunately, it's going to end.
Farewell.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
So I think at this time, we should just say good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
And I won't say don't let the bed bugs bite because it pisses TC off, all right? Good night.
And by the way, tomorrow morning I will be up early so I can watch the Pittsburgh Marathon run through my neighborhood.
Nice.
Not every day you get
to enjoy.
It's not every It's not every day you get to see guys from Kenya and Uganda running through your neighborhood, at least not carrying a television. So, okay.
That was bad. Okay, good night, TC.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. Everybody.